hockey fans, and welcome to the Hockey News Prospect Podcast. I'm your host, Edward Fraser, here with, as always, prospect expert Ryan Kennedy. On today's edition, we've got an interview with Halifax Mooseheads GM Cam Russell, and we're going to be spotlighting the St. Louis Blues. But up first, headlines, and let's kick off with that CHL Russia series.
Yeah, the WHL is up first this year. Moose Jaw and Swift Current will serve as hosts, and I think this is probably going to be one of the best ones to monitor if you're a Canadian World Junior fan, because the Dub has some very nice players that will be in this tournament that will be eligible for Canada. Starting on the back end, Jake Bean, the Carolina Hurricanes pick, and Cale Clegg, the Los Angeles Kings prospect. I would expect both of these guys to be back in the Canada lineup this year for the World Juniors. Clegg in particular is having a very good season with the Brandon Wheat Kings. Jake Bean, we all know about his skills. He's just such a smart player. Both of those guys can generate offense from the back end. And, you know, just the way the game is going and the way Canada has played internationally, it just feels like that's going to be so important. But up front, there's a lot of talent too. And Sam Steele with the Anaheim Ducks system, Regina Pats, huge scorer, has shown some great chemistry with Jordan Kyrou from Sarnia, who I'll actually talk about later because he's a Blues pick. But they showed some great chemistry in the summer with Canada's World Junior squad, and he'll be in that game. Cody Glass, the Vegas Golden Knights pick, he's having another strong year in Portland. And Brett Howden, the Tampa Bay pick, I think he's going to be pretty key in this tournament as well. He's one of those good two-way players, and it'll be interesting to see how they fare against the Russians, given that they're the first team that gets to take them on, with Quebec and Ontario after that.
A circuit that I think most casual fans will definitely not have heard of, but something that insiders really keep a close eye on, and that's the Upper Midwest High School Elite League. Some programs in there that I think some people will have heard of, though.
Yeah, definitely. Now, this is a tournament that happens every fall in Minnesota. It's pretty much all Minnesota kids, Minnesota high school kids, I should say. There's a Wisconsin team as well. And this is kind of like an all-star tournament because the high school season doesn't start until late November in most cases. So this is a way for the top-end kids to get into some competitive hockey. And you know, I was talking to an agent the other day. He was saying it's like the amount of scouts there is incredible. And it's like that every year. And, you know, every year kids come out of that Minnesota system, whether they stick in high school or play some USHL games, it's very crucial. Sammy Walker, who was a Tampa Bay pick in 2017, he was part of Team Southwest. They won the whole thing. But there was some very interesting players that I think made really good early impressions. The first being Dimitrios Koumantzis, who is an undersized player but stocky, very hard to knock over, and he was the leading scorer in the regular season, even though his team wasn't the champions. He really stood out, and I was talking to a scout about him. He was very impressed. Another player to keep in mind, and these are probably going to be late-round guys, but kind of value picks where you're just scratching the surface, is Jack Gorniak. I had him described to me as, you know, very skilled and a very busy player. You always notice him when he's on the ice, always making something happen. He was actually on the team from Wisconsin. He plays Wisconsin high school hockey, which is not as highly regarded. It's not as deep. But we have seen prospects come out of that circuit in the past. Now that that tournament is done, there's actually another tournament called the International Invitational Tournament, where they sort of took the All-Stars from the Upper Midwest and put them into another two All-Star teams. They have Minnesota White, Minnesota Red, and they're taking on some other programs like Shattuck St. Mary's, the famous prep school in Minnesota where Sidney Crosby and Jonathan Toews played, and Stanstead College where Mark Jankowski from the Calgary Flames played. So there's some interesting names to keep in mind for that. And again, just more games where you see these guys in competition, and it's one of those things where scouts, they get their early showings in, and it gives them just a baseline of who to watch once the high school season kicks off.
Let's hop back to Canadian Major Junior and talk about Ruan Noranda's Zach Lauzon.
Yeah, Zach Lauzon, he was Pittsburgh's first selection in the 2017 draft. He was a second rounder. He hurt his neck during the playoffs last year with the Huskies, and tried to play through it at Pittsburgh rookie camp. He even played a couple of games for Ruan Duranta this September. I think he got into three games. But he's been day-to-day ever since. So it's one of those things where they're saying day-to-day turned out to be kind of week-to-week. But it sounds like they're trying to get him back soon, but it is day-to-day. And if they get him back, that'll obviously be huge for them. And just for his development, you know, coming out of getting drafted, you want to see him play some more games. He's more of a shutdown guy, more of a two-way guy. But I think he could be a very valuable chip for the Penguins in future years once he gets to that stage.
There was also a trade in the Quebec League.
There certainly was. Just before we tape this podcast, German Rubsoff, the Philadelphia Flyers pick, is going to Acadie Bathurst. He was with Chicoutimi, and another import player, Vladimir Kuznetsov, went the other way in this trade. But Acadie Bathurst is a stronger team than Chicoutimi right now. And once Rubsoff was coming back to Junior, you know, when I was talking to people in Quebec, they were saying, like, look for him to probably get traded. You know, this is probably going to be his last year in Major Junior. And, you know, he's had some injury problems last year when he came over, but he's healthy now. Just a very good all-around talented producer, and he'll be joining a pretty interesting Titan squad. They have Antoine Morin, the Anaheim Ducks pick, and then a defenseman named Noah Dobson, who's getting a lot of press lately. Just a great puck mover with size. He's up for the 2018 draft, so it'll be kind of fun to see what those three can do. I wonder if they'll have them all on the power play at the same time. It'll be fun, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, what kind of production Rubsoff can have there.
A fixture in the management scene of the Quebec League for many years has been Cam Russell. We caught up with him earlier this week to talk about his Halifax Mooseheads and some of his prospects.
I'm here with Halifax Mooseheads GM Cam Russell. And Cam, this is a very exciting year for the Herd. A lot of good prospects for the 2018 draft, headlined by import Philip Zadina. And to begin with, what can you say about his performance so far for your club?
Well, he's been lights out. One of our best players. He's an exciting guy to watch. He's got great mobility, great puck skills. He's physically strong. He's not intimidated, and he's scoring goals. So he's a fun player to watch and exciting for our fans.
Right on. Now, of course, he's from the Czech Republic originally, and came to Halifax via the import draft. This has been a big strong suit for your club, particularly in recent years with guys like Nikolaj Ehlers and Timo Meier and, of course, Nico Hischier. Can you just take me through the process a little bit? How much work goes into scouting these players, making sure they want to come over and play Major Junior hockey, and just getting them into a Halifax uniform?
Well, it's a lot of work. I mean, it starts with, having some good guys get out there and see the players and put a list together. You know, there's a lot of different international events, some in North America, some in Europe. So, you know, we try to get out and see as many as we can and put a list together. And then it goes from there. I mean, it's meeting the kids, it's trying to meet the parents and, talks with the agents. And these are world-class players. They've got lots of different options. They've got options back home in their home countries. And, you know, they're thinking of the NHL draft. And at the end of the day, they want to go to the best place that will give them the best opportunity to be drafted. And, so we present our argument and explain what our team's all about. And, and it also has started to snowball a bit with the success we've had. You look at a guy like Nico 2 years ago. First thing he did, he picked up the phone and called Timo Meier, fellow Swiss player, and asked him about Halifax. And Timo had great things to say about Halifax. So that helps. You know, you'd be your best ambassadors or your former players sometimes.
Oh, excellent. Now, do you have particular billet families that are good with imports? I mean, some of these kids might have decent English. Some of them might, I would assume, speak very little English. Is it important to put them in a good environment just so they can kind of adapt to the culture right away?
Yeah. And you know what? It really is. I've said to a few people before, I remember when Nick Ehlers came over to Canada to play for us, and his mom sent me a message that said, "I've just put my gold on the airplane. Please take care of it." So, you know, you realize it's a tremendous responsibility to take care of somebody's most prized possession, and it's a big transition for them. So we try to make it as smooth as possible. Right now we've got the Ash family is building Philip, and they visited Nico last year. They've done a great job. We've got all our other dads do a great job too. And these kids are coming from Quebec or the States, and like I say, you have to make the transition period smooth, and something that we think we've done a pretty good job at.
Indeed. Now, one player that's very familiar with the hockey world is 2018 draft prospect Benoit Olivier Gruel, who is, of course, the son of Benoit Gruel, the coach. What sort of role has Benoit Olivier taken on in this team, and what do you see as his strengths?
Well, it's tough when you talk about these kids. You know, Benoit, he's still only 17 years old, so... You know, we don't expect him to come in at 17 and lead our team to a championship on his own. That being said, he's played extremely well this year. He's a second-line center. He's a big, strong guy. He's a guy that he's a pure power forward. If he's not scoring goals, he's going to run someone through the boards. He's going to kill penalties. His details are great, obviously, with his father helping him out along the way. So he's just... a responsible player that you can put in any situation, and of course he can score goals along the way too.
Excellent. And another player that looks like he's probably destined for the first round is Jared McIsaac, who plays on your defense corps. What do you see in Jared so far?
Well, it's, you know, today's game, you know, I've got young kids, and you know, growing up, you take the kids that can't skate and you put them on defense. You take the rich kids and you put them in goal because they can afford to goalie. But you know, Jared, he's one of these defensemen that's hard to find. You know, he's got the ability to slow the game down to his pace. He sees the ice better than anyone on the team. He moves the puck like a pro. You know, he's just got great vision. He's got great hands. He's extremely good-sized kid. He's strong, but just the hockey sense and the hockey IQ is right up there. So another world-class player that last year at 16 was our best defenseman.
Excellent. And you also have a goaltender up for the 2018 draft in Alexis Gravel. I first wanted to ask you about this being maybe a bit of a unique scouting challenge in that I actually saw Alexis play minor midget because he was playing in Mississauga outside of Toronto, even though he was eligible for the Quebec League draft. What was that process like in scouting a player that wasn't really in your backyard at the time?
Well, it's, you know, you see him in a tournament here or there, but we had some kids like Newhook and Budge last year, two Newfoundland kids that played minor midget in Ontario. So, you know, our territories are getting bigger. Our scouting events are becoming more and more. But, you know, it's a lifeline of your team when you're talking about scouting. So we just try to get out there and see these kids as much as we can in as many situations as we can. And, yeah, he was great. I mean, he was one of the top goaltenders in the draft. We were lucky to get him. And with some injuries last year, he ended up playing 50 games and was huge for us in the playoffs. So, yeah, he's another guy that, even though he's only 17, he's playing a big part in our hockey club.
Excellent. And finally, I wanted to ask you about Nico Hischier, who obviously got off to such a great start with the New Jersey Devils. How fun is it for you to see these players who, you know, they were only on your team last year? It's not like they're, you know, alumni from way back in the day. They're having impacts right away. What kind of growth did you see in Nico just in that short time he was in Halifax?
Well, I was fortunate to see him a few years back when he was playing in the under teams as a double underager. And it was funny. I was talking to an agent. You know, Nico wasn't eligible for the draft, but he said to me, you know, we were talking about his clients for the upcoming European draft, and he was telling me about them. And then he said, listen, he said, I don't represent this guy, but the one guy you've got to watch next year is Nico Hischier. And, you know, we got out and we watched him a couple of times and then met him and met his family. And yeah, he's a superstar. And, I mean, you're not going to meet a better person. You're not going to meet a better set of parents. He's a whole package. New Jersey's got a great player there. And, you know, I honestly see him being one of the top players in the NHL in the next, probably the next 3 or 4 years.
Indeed. Well, thanks so much for doing this, Cam, and good luck the rest of the season.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
Our 2018 draft spotlight this week is on Ryan McLeod, who's going to be a familiar name to some hockey fans, center with the Mississauga Steelheads, and a prospect who's really, really worth watching for 2018.
Yeah, definitely. And it's kind of fun. You know, we love narratives in the media world. And Ryan McLeod is the younger brother of Mikey McLeod and another hockey player, Matthew McLeod. And they grew up with the Strome family in Mississauga. So Dylan, Ryan, and Matthew, they had some epic street hockey games. You know, they were always around. And Ryan McLeod and Matthew Strome actually played on the same Toronto Marlboro's minor midget team that won the OHL Cup a few years back. I was actually at that final. They had a fantastic team. But, yeah, you're going to hear probably a lot about the family connections this year with Ryan. But I would say that, you know, he's a kid that definitely stands out on his own.
Where would you see him going this year? You know, I know there's a lot of hockey to be played, but at this point, where do you see him in a mock draft?
Well, I think he'll probably be a top 10 pick. That would be my guess, particularly because there isn't a lot of natural centers in this draft. I think you're going to see Joe Valeno is probably the first to go, and then it's a little open for me. I think maybe Jack McBain, who is playing in the Ontario Junior A circuit, he might have a shot, and you also have McLeod in that mix. And it might come down to team need. It might come down to teams valuing centers over wingers. In Ryan McLeod, you're getting a kid that we've seen him produce at high levels already. He had a great playoffs for Mississauga last year, 20 points in 20 games. I thought he really came on strong there, and that was a pretty good top-heavy Mississauga team. They still had his brother Mikey McLeod, who's injured right now and hasn't played. He was in New Jersey's camp. They also had Owen Tippett, who never returned from Florida. Owen Tippett just decided to go straight to the NHL, and the Panthers were very happy to have him in the early going, at least. So, you know, Ryan McLeod played very well in those playoffs. They went to the OHL final before falling to Erie. But he's also been strong this year, and I think it's important to recognize that the Steelheads really got off to a bad start. And I think part of that was, you know, you had to assume either Mikey or Owen Tippett were coming back from the NHL. Neither of them did, and that was a pretty big hole. They also traded a veteran defenseman in Austin Osmanski, who's a Buffalo Sabres prospect. So they really got out of the gate slow. But, you know, when I went to see them against Niagara a couple of weeks ago, Ryan McLeod was still all over the ice and producing and really doing a lot of great things. Now they're starting to get more wins. Ryan McLeod is still very much, you know, one of the offensive centerpieces there. And, you know, if they can get more confidence throughout the lineup, I think they'll be more of the team we expected them to be.
No doubt this kid's got all the talent in the world, but it concerns me at least as a bit of a layman when it comes to prospect when I read a kid needs to work on his skating.
Well, I wouldn't say he needs to work on his skating so much as he doesn't have the same explosiveness as Mikey McLeod. But that's Mikey McLeod's forte. And with Ryan McLeod, he's very smart and he's very talented. And his skating is totally fine. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. One thing that I thought was kind of interesting is I was talking to a scout about him last year, and he was hoping that McLeod would actually use a longer stick. He thought that McLeod played the puck almost too close to himself, and he wanted that to, you know, be sort of rectified, where he thought that it would be harder for defenseman to knock the puck off of him if he had a longer stick. So that was kind of interesting to me. I'd never heard that before. But as it is, Ryan is very good on faceoffs. So he's got a lot of nice elements already, and I think it'll be interesting to see just how high he goes.
Our team spotlight this week, the St. Louis Blues, a team that's got a decent cadre of prospects, but has been one of those teams, again, that's kind of that middling competitive team, so they haven't had a lot of high picks, but they've done well with the picks that they have had.
Yeah, I really like what the St. Louis Blues have put together lately, and a lot of these kids are either on the cusp or they've already gotten a couple of games in because St. Louis has had some pretty bad injuries. the thing that's kind of interesting about the Blues this year is their AHL situation is not ideal. With Vegas coming into the league, the AHL was kind of short one affiliate, and so St. Louis was actually splitting with Vegas to begin the season, but then they made a deal with San Antonio, who's with Colorado, and so now you have Blues prospects in both cities. Now, next year, Colorado is getting their own affiliate known as the Colorado Eagles, and so that'll take the AHL up to 31 teams, and then nobody has a problem anymore. All the St. Louis kids will be in San Antonio. But right now, with the Rampage, you've got kids like Tage Thompson, who I think has been fantastic since the Blues drafted him. You know, he's like 6'5" kid, and you know, he's going to the net, he's creating things, and just really smart. Samuel Blaze, who was very sort of under the radar for a couple of years, a bit of an older prospect, but he's a big body, and he's been very nice for them. You also have Jordan Schmaltz, the defenseman, and he's another one of those puck movers who, you know, if the Blues weren't such a good team already, he probably would get more opportunities, but they have that nice system going. And then Klim Kostin, who I thought was a great steal for them at pick 31 in 2017, he's in San Antonio. He's off to a good start as well. Just great power forward with fantastic scoring ability. Then you go over to Chicago, and you got some more prospects, the most noteworthy, of course, being Jake Walman, formerly of Providence College. And again, just a real solid defenseman who can move the puck and create offense. And then they've got guys like Pateri Lindbaum and Mackenzie McEachern there as well. So it'll be nice when all the prospects are together next year in San Antonio. But as it is now, the fact that these kids are kind of ahead of the curve in a lot of cases, I think really kind of helps the Blues.
Let's look at some of their junior prospects, starting with their first round pick from this season, Robert Thompson.
Yeah,
Robert Thomas, not Thompson. I'm thinking of Tage Thompson.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Robert Thomas playing for the London Knights, and you know he stuck around pretty long with St. Louis in the preseason, and the London Knights got off to a really bad start, which was uncharacteristic for them. But having Robert Thomas back in the lineup certainly helps. 17 points in 12 games. Again, just a really smart kid. I like his tenacity. He can give you a lot of different looks up front, and I thought he was pretty nice over the summer with Canada's World Junior squad. Over in Guelph, you have Alexei Toropchenko, and this is an interesting one for me. You know, a Russian kid, this is his first year in North America, great size there, some really nice offensive potential. I thought the Storm were going to be a little bit better coming into the season than they have been. They still obviously have time to turn it around, but Toropchenko, 12 points in 15 games, it's not bad. He's one of their top scorers, so pretty good for him. And then scooting over to the Quebec League, David Noel is the top scoring defenseman in the Q right now, plays for Val-d'Or, is 18 points in 16 games for the Forers.
And Jordan Kyrou, another player in the OHL who's a candidate for Canada's WJC team.
Yeah, I wanted to save him for last because I think Jordan Kyrou is just having a gem of a season. And as I said earlier, you know, his chemistry with Sam Steele at the World Junior Camp in Plymouth, Michigan was quite evident. And if I'm not mistaken, they were actually roommates as well, so they got to know each other off the ice. But I would expect them to be a very potent duo for Team Canada in Buffalo should that lineup stay intact like that. And I don't see why you wouldn't do it because they were so good together. Kyrou, 28 points in 13 games, one of the top scorers in the OHL. He is playing for a Sarnia Sting team, absolutely on fire. 14 wins in their first 15 games. They're coached by ex-NHLer Darian Hatcher, and just kind of a dream season for them. It's interesting to me because this is a franchise that had Steven Stamkos, they had Nail Yakupov and Alex Galchenyuk at the same time, and they've never really had much playoff success. But the squad they've assembled this year, even though it's not the most sexy in terms of marquee names, they're getting it done. And Jordan Kyrou, he's so fast, he's so talented, he's got those great hands. I just think that he could really do some damage. And even though they're in the OHL's Western Conference, which tends to be very difficult, I wouldn't count the Sting out with Kyrou in the lineup.
Nice second-round steal for the Blues. That's our look around the world of prospects for this week. Next week in the podcast, we're going to be looking at the Pittsburgh Penguins system. For Ryan Kennedy, I'm Edward Fraser. Thanks for listening.